Hello and welcome to SourceCast episode number 30. I'm your host, Joey Lombardi. The major bombshell this week is that Microsoft purchased LinkedIn. And we are obviously going to talk about it because there have been thousands of articles about this subject. Why it's good, why it's bad, blah, blah, blah. And then we're going to shift into some conversations about Oracle and Salesforce. And it relates back to what's going on with Microsoft and LinkedIn. And it's a whole other situation. So everything's sort of interconnected this week. So let's just get right to it. So what's the angle here? Why would Microsoft try to purchase a social media company for professionals? Some people think this is Microsoft's attempt at getting into the social game. They tried to buy Facebook a few years ago. They failed. Most of the news coming out says that's not the case. We covered on the blog a few weeks ago that Microsoft attempted to buy Salesforce. Salesforce declined. But Microsoft still has their eyes on that sales analytics, contact-driven system. And they think they can turn LinkedIn into that solution for themselves. It's about a stickiness. Microsoft wants you to be into their ecosystem more. They want you to use Cortana so Cortana gets better and it's more competitive with Siri and the Google products. Microsoft knows that that Office suite is a major part of their profit stream. And they're going to find ways to, pardon the pun, link in this associate information into Outlook, into Word, and to help drive sales analytics. Because now you can help piece together a competitor's org structure or find contacts directly in your Microsoft product base. But here's something you might not have known. While Microsoft tried to buy Salesforce, Salesforce tried to buy LinkedIn. They made a play for it, but obviously the LinkedIn team declined because Microsoft was clearly going to be able to offer and did offer more money. So then it shifts the conversation over to Salesforce. They are likely an acquisition target. We have been talking about Salesforce being picked off for weeks. Again, we did talk about Microsoft potentially purchasing them, and then that shifted away to the perennial favorite. Oracle is constantly in the conversation about potentially buying Salesforce. But lately, there's been rumors and conversations about Amazon potentially buying Salesforce. A lot of people say that by acquiring Salesforce, Amazon would have a pedigree with certain cloud services, and it's not just a race to the bottom. There would be more substance and more content available via Amazon than just cheap hosting. And that seems to be bringing out Larry Ellison from Oracle.
Ancient spirits of evil! Transform this decayed form to Mumra, the ever-living!
There's this weird situation happening with Oracle. Over the last few weeks on the podcast, we mentioned that Oracle is in a new lawsuit and they're being sued by their investors and by a former employee who accuses Oracle of cooking the books in the cloud. So they're basically saying that Oracle is falsifying their cloud revenue profits to state that they are growing in that space more than they are. They are essentially cannibalizing sales from other areas and reporting them as cloud to show growth in that area. So Ellison came out this week on CNBC and said that Oracle has a fighting chance to be the first software as a service company to see $10 billion in revenue, which would beat Salesforce, who's sort of hovering around $8 to $10 billion at the moment. Within 2 weeks of being accused of cooking the books on their cloud services, they are now going out and publicly saying that they're going to hit this $10 billion revenue goal, which analysts are saying they probably won't hit. So if you combine the entire conversation, and I know this is a long and winding conversation, Oracle is feeling threatened by Salesforce and some of the other movements that are happening in the industry, like the acquisition of LinkedIn. They want to show that they're growing and they are the big dog in the cloud space. They are accused of cooking their books to show that growth. And now they're stating a goal of $10 billion in revenue, which people are claiming they probably won't be able to hit. With all of that being said, and in the backdrop of the LinkedIn acquisition, there is now pressure for some of the other Silicon Valley companies to potentially make an acquisition, specifically Google. There's a lot of talk this week about Google potentially acquiring Twitter. Twitter has been on the decline as users have fled to other services like Instagram and Snapchat, but it is still seen as the premier platform for breaking news. So in that context, there seems to be some pressure for Google to potentially acquire them from a data perspective for all the data that's funneling in, and also for IBM to potentially pick them off. They already have a relationship with Twitter, and they're feeding a lot of information into Watson. But should they take it a step further and own the data? Several people have noticed that Twitter has been on the decline. So if there's this market pressure for an IBM or a Google to acquire them, they will probably overpay. There's conversations that Microsoft is overpaying for LinkedIn. As a sourcing and procurement aficionado, I feel like the art of the negotiation is being lost here. It's just bulk transaction, throw some money, acquire, disassemble.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh? Oh, it looks good on you, though.
But all of these things are sort of interconnected, and it seems like as one supplier makes a move, there's this chain reaction that's happening. This entire conversation boils down to the need for a strategy. It's fine for a company to acquire another company. But when there's a general consensus around amateur investors that start to push companies into buying other companies just because, it's dangerous. And the entire situation has been somewhat enabled due to cheap debt, which we talked about in episode 29. Does Microsoft have a strategy for LinkedIn? I'm sure that they do. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of new and interesting things to do with the combination of the two companies. Or it could be a complete boondoggle, like HP's acquisition of Autonomy and Palm, and Microsoft's acquisition of Nokia. And another great example is Google's acquisition of Nest. That is a company that was doing well. Google acquired them. They bolted on a rocket to their backs with almost unlimited money. And from the minute that acquisition occurred, Nest has floundered. Are we seeing wise acquisitions based on one company's research and their ability to target a company that fits a need? Or are we seeing forced market consolidations due to cheap debt? I don't know, but we're watching it unfold before our eyes. Speaking of IBM, they're making news this week because they are getting into the self-driving car market. They are working with a car manufacturer to introduce Ollie, which is a passenger van that can carry up to 12 people. It taps into 4 Watson APIs to interact with its riders. You can issue more commands to Ollie, like take me to a local Mexican restaurant, and it should be able to do that. IBM will be beta testing Ollie in the Washington, D.C. area in the coming months. IBM is also having some difficulties in India. The Indian government is claiming that IBM could potentially owe them $1 billion in back taxes related to capital gains and transfer pricing. IBM isn't the only company that is having tax issues with India right now. Vodafone, Nokia, and Shell all have tax claims against them by the Indian government worth billions of dollars. The foreign companies are accusing the Indian government of a lack of clarity in their tax enforcement. I have a sneaking suspicion these are not the only companies that are going to be facing this issue in the coming months, so we will continue to cover it. EMC is facing a potential weird situation. As Dell enters the final stages of their acquisition of EMC, EMC employees are creating pop-up unions. The pop-up union, which is called the Employee Association to Renegotiate Non-Competes, or EARN-T for short, is essentially trying to gain collective bargaining power over contract negotiations with EMC to put an end to non-compete clauses, or at least severely weaken them. The group actually doesn't call themselves a union, and they believe themselves to be an employee association, and it is considerably less formal than existing unions. So the pop-up union wants companies to either pay while the employee is still under the non-compete clause, or to effectively eliminate the concept of the non-compete. EMC and Dell have not commented on this situation. And we'll end it there. On a programming note, we will not have an episode next week because I will be on vacation. So thanks for listening. Episode 31 will be out soon. Take care. Thank you.